Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India's ascent in Asia Power Index 2025. The participants are Aditi Tandon, senior journalist, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
India has recently secured the third position in the prestigious Asia Power Index 2025, a ranking published by the Australia-based Lowy Institute that evaluates the influence of nations across Asia. This is a significant milestone, especially as India edges closer to being recognized as a major power on the continent. It's a pleasure to have in the studio, Aditi.
Thank you so much.
A warm welcome to Akashvani. Would you tell us the factors behind India's rise in this index? You would make us understand how it compares with regional giants like China and global powers like the US. And what are the implications of this ranking for India's future role in the Asian and global geopolitical landscape?
See, the rankings that came yesterday place India at the third position, behind now only the United States of America and China, as you said in your opening remarks. What's significant about these rankings is, one, this is for the second consecutive year that India has been placed third. But what is more important for us is that, one, we have surpassed Japan in this year's rankings. And second is that these rankings also take into account India's rising military prowess, India's economic resilience, India's influence in the region as a major power. Like you said, the biggest takeaway from yesterday's index is that India has crossed the threshold definition that is given by the Lowy Institute that comes out with these rankings, which is the big thing, that we are now a major power, which we were not in the last index. So that's the shift. What does it mean to be a major power? It basically means that you have the points that have been allotted to nations. India has scored 40 out of the 100 points that have to be, you know, allotted to major powers in this particular index. And the index takes note of India's speedy and fast economic recovery after the COVID-19 pandemic. Also, the fact that India's economy has shown great resilience in the face of adversity. We know that two wars are going on in the world, and despite the supply chain interruptions, despite so many economic challenges that were posed by those two wars, India's GDP has continued to largely maintain the growth trajectory. We only yesterday saw how our growth rate has touched 8.2%, defying all projections, in the quarter two of financial year 2025-26. So the index basically takes note of all this. Our military power, our defense capability, economic resilience, continuing economic growth, our cultural influence, our diplomatic presence.
So these are the parameters on which this index measures a country's prowess.
So there are 8 thematic segments. These are some of the segments that I'm mentioning. And there are a vast number of actually parameters, around 131. Those are the brass tacks. But broad parameters are these. For instance, economic capability is one, military power is one, cultural influence is another.
So a country's comprehensive power is calculated as a weighted average across the 8 measures, as you very rightly said. So which are the areas, Aditi, that you feel that we need to be more working on, and which is the area, say, for example, do you think diplomatic influence needs to be asserted more? Or do you think culturally we need to go more forward?
See, what I feel is, studying the index, we have bridged a lot of gap with powers like the United States and China, now having been placed at number 3 in the index. But if you go into the deeper analysis, you will realize that there is a huge difference between India and China so far as the weighted average goes. So obviously, we have to close our gap with China, because, you know, China is the other major Asian power. India is another major rising Asian power. So we have to immediately look at how to close that gap with China, because right now, US is way ahead. If you look at 100 points, US has something like 80 points score. China has something like 73 points. India is lagging at 40, although India is at number 3, which is a huge jump from the previous score. So there are gains indicated by this index, and there are areas for improvement which India has to look forward to. When you say which areas do we have to expand, it's not one particular area that matters. We have to, one, continue our growth trajectory on the economic front. We have to continue sustained momentum. We have to ensure that India remains a favored destination for foreign investments. The index shows that we have surpassed Japan. One major reason why we've surpassed them is that we are attracting more foreign investors than Japan. So that's a very good sign. But what is the challenge? The challenge is to maintain that momentum. Then energy security is a major challenge. Energy security is something that India will have to seriously think about, because right now our dependence continues on the other countries. You know, we have been getting oil from Russia. We have been withstanding the US pressure to do that. But it'll be great if the domestic capacity with respect to oil and energy is enhanced quickly and in line with the local requirements. So these are a few challenges. As far as diplomatic influence of India is concerned, I think India has largely managed to come out as a major power in the sense that it has maintained strategic autonomy. It has not been bullied at all on the world stage. It has kept national interests prime. In fact, national interests are now singularly guiding India's foreign policy.
So despite India's progress, as you mentioned, there remains a wide gap with China. What are the main challenges India faces in closing this gap in economic, military, or diplomatic terms?
See, when you talk of China, it's a very complex equation and you don't have very easy answers. China has, a certain kind of government system where pushing reforms is not as hard as pushing reforms is for a democratic country like India. If the Indian government here has to push a major reform, it has to build consensus, it has to bring a bill in parliament, it has to open the bill for stakeholder consultations. So the process of enforcing reform is much longer for India than it is for China. So there is an inherent difference in the way the governments of the two countries are fashioned, which is a historical issue. So as a democracy, we have managed to roll out major reforms in the economic sector. For instance, we have only recently rolled out our four labor codes after a lot of difficulty. You remember that labor codes were passed by parliament in 2020, but the government took 5 long years to enable consultation and consensus building so that, you know, it doesn't come as a shock to anyone. No reform is easy. But the idea is to minimize the impact so that everybody is on board. Even now, for the framing of rules on the four labor codes, the government has made it clear that it will talk to everybody, because there are still trade unions that are agitated about it. China doesn't have to face those problems. In China, the government takes one decision and it is rolled out the next day. It's not as easy for us. We have to go through that beautiful drill of a democracy. We recently, rolled out GST, next generation reforms. That has also bolstered consumption, and everything has been reflected in the GDP data that came out yesterday.
So, Aditi, how do the rankings reflect the different strategic priorities and capabilities of the US, China and India in the Asian geopolitical landscape?
The biggest takeaway from this particular ranking will be the acknowledgement of India's growing military power and the fact that the rankings largely acknowledge and accept the success of Operation Sindoor after the April 22 Pahalgam terror attack. We all know that a number of indigenous weapon systems were put to test in this very difficult period. Indian armed forces achieved their objective of non-escalatory strikes inside Pakistan with great precision and efficiency. The idea was basically to, target the perpetrators of terror, and that was achieved with great precision. As we all know, Indian Air Force did a wonderful job. The terror bases inside the heart of Pakistan were struck. Our indigenous weapon systems were tested and the world watched. What happened on the other side? We saw how a number of systems that were deployed by Pakistan, some of Chinese origin, we even have evidence now, they actually failed to deliver. So what happens in such scenarios is, not only do we serve a national purpose, not only do we deliver a strong national response to terror, we also display our power as a great military nation, which this particular index yesterday acknowledges, because it does say that India's military capability is rising. We are also now looking at a major enhancement in our defense exports. So we are not only looking at imports, which we have defense relationships both with the US as well as Russia and some other countries. The Russian president will be here on December 5. And India will talk to Russia about the pending delivery of two S-400 battery systems. 5 were ordered and paid for. Only 3 have been delivered. So that momentum continues on one side. On the other, we are building our indigenous capabilities. Now we have the fighter jet Tejas. It is being delivered. Our own Hindustan Aeronautics Limited is building it. So there is a multi-pronged effort going on to improve Atmanirbharta in defense, which is a very important thing because defense takes away major part of our budget. All nations are pumping huge monies into defense sector simply because the world has become so uncertain and you don't know exactly who your enemy is. So you have to raise your defenses, you have to stay in the alert mode all the time, for which it's important to become a Atmanirbhar nation as far as defense capability is concerned. A large part of that has been acknowledged by the index yesterday.
And also there's a call by the Prime Minister that we want to be a developed nation. And also there are reforms which take us through the Make in India call that has been given by the Finance Ministry and even the Prime Minister. And the ease of doing business, the reforms that are towards it. So all this points towards India being a place to be in the near future. And perhaps the reason why we are where we are.
The fact that foreign investors are coming into India. Yesterday's GDP data and Chief Economic Advisor's press conference that followed gave us a lot of insight into where we are headed. In fact, he did say that, you know, foreign investment is steadily increasing. The other very important thing that he said was that rural economy of India remains resilient and rural demand is increasing. Urban demand has increased over time. And the recent GST next generation reforms.
And we are the biggest consumption economy.
Yeah, absolutely. Come to think of it. And what we see is that Prime Minister continues to pledge major reforms and he has said that he will not hesitate to roll out reforms which are necessary for India to become a developed nation by 2047. And a number of other reform measures, we are told, are in the offing and some of them will even be piloted in the upcoming winter session of Parliament.
What specific achievements or trends contributed to India reaching this milestone? We have been discussing this, if you could just put it together.
Basically, the big thematic segments that India has been able to rise up to in order to become a major power. One, I said military power and military networks. The second is economic capability and economic resilience. The third, I think, that the index takes into consideration is cultural influence of the nation. Cultural influence of India has enhanced significantly. You talk of yoga. Yoga has taken the world by storm. Ever since Prime Minister Modi had piloted the International Day of Yoga at the UN, it has become a mandatory, you know, calendar event in the world every year in June. So that's a big thing. A lot of foreign tourists are also coming to India for visiting, you know, redeveloped religious and spiritual sites in the country. For instance, if you look at only the Mahakumbh tourist inflow, it was 66 crore. And you compare it with France. France gets in a year about 9 crore tourists. So just compare, it's not even comparable. So that's the kind of scale of tourism that we are talking about. So a comprehensive improvement by India across various themes that are taken into account to measure the power of a nation.
On that note, Aditi, we thank you for sharing your valuable insights on this important development. We look forward to monitoring how India leverages this status to play a very important role on the world stage. Thank you for being with Akashwani.
Thank you so much.
You are listening to a discussion on India's ascent in Asia Power Index 2025. The participants were Aditi Tandon, senior journalist, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.